curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. I'm Carla Soans, and I am here with Ron in the podcast studio here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, on a beautiful almost fall day. How are you, Ron?
I'm awesome. It is a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's like that perfect leaves are starting to fall, but it's still warm-ish.
Awesome. It is great out.
So today, speaking of seasons, and we're embarking on, you know, a seasonal change here in Michigan that's just knocking on our door. But for leaders, we know that they're also going through those changes in season. And one of the questions that we've been receiving a lot lately, I know it's been on your heart and mind, and I know it's also been on mine, is just growth within an organization and really positioning yourself as a leader in places for that next promotion or that next great opportunity. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I wanted to bring it up again because I think it's that important. And it just seems to be this reoccurring theme of people asking, you know, in order to get noticed in my organization as somebody who leadership would be willing to invest in, what do I need to do in order to do that? So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think as we talked about this, and we do get a lot of questions or people, particularly emerging leaders, will call or write and say, you know, I don't know how to advance my career. We've kind of come up with four steps. You know, the first one is don't shoot yourself in the foot. And that is you've got to avoid gossiping and politics. In today's world, people remember those things and they will eliminate you from the sphere of influence, eliminate you from being trusted. And I think it's the biggest thing, and it's easy. I don't know that people do it on purpose, but they try to ingratiate themselves to people who have perceived power or influence, and then they don't have anything to say. So they'll say, hey, did you know so-and-so? Or what about this? Or don't you think, you know, I'm better than them? Or whatever that may be. But what it ends up is, oh, I can't trust you. And so you never know that glass ceiling went above you, but it was self-inflicted. I mean, don't you agree?
I 100% agree. And I think it's often very unintentional. You know, people get into, they have close friends at work, and we all encourage that to happen. But I think, you know, knowing who your audience is, and there's a difference between talking about hurdles that you're trying to overcome at work in a solution-oriented way versus a, can you believe that so-and-so did that, or they keep doing that, or that's so annoying. And so I think it's all in how you present yourself and, again, being solution-oriented.
And the outcome that you're really trying to get in it.
Absolutely.
People can see that transparent, oh, you're just trying to suck up or create drama so you can look like the solution.
It's very unbecoming.
It is.
I think you're right in the fact that it makes you feel like the person's not trustworthy, because we're going to face hurdles at work and you're not going to like every single person that you work with. There's going to be certain people that occasionally in whatever flow you're in at work, that causes them anxiety. And it's hard. Like there are times where you know you've rubbed somebody the wrong way or they're rubbing you the wrong way. And instead of, you know, putting that into the drama pool and so-and-so doesn't like so-and-so and they're kind of not talking right now and letting that kind of ripple out, it's just so much more mature to be able to say, you know, this is a challenging season and I'm going to have to carry my load, which may help partially overcoming with somebody else a real deficit that they have in their leadership right now.
That's right. You know, work is a group exercise, and those people that make the group stronger, better, faster will succeed, and those that don't will be lost.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And I love that tip of avoiding office gossip and like the office politics. You just have to.
Yep.
You just have to try to stay grounded, stay authentic, stay neutral, and stay solutions focused.
Yeah. Number two would be, you know, for me, is cultivate a professional image. And I think I've probably said it on the podcast before, but in the workplace, I'm going to call it 10 years ago, we started seeing girls become women and men become boys in the way they dress, in the way they present themselves, in personal hygiene, in the way they're professionally carrying themselves, in the intensity of the work. And I think it's great that women are thriving in the workplace and getting their, you know, just rewards. But it also breaks my heart to see both men and women of great value diminished because, you know, personal hygiene. You know, a man bun may be great when you're at the farmer's market, but it's not in the law firm. You know, not shaving is a great thing on the weekends. But if you're in an environment that's clean shaven and well-groomed, then great. You can express your independence of creativity, but know that it's going to hurt your career.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this recently on a podcast when we were talking about executive presence and how we're living in a time where we're kind of on a, you know, going through a cultural change, a shift in terms of how you present yourself in the workplace. And that's kind of fun to be a part of that transformation. And you get a chance to kind of flirt with, like, how casual can you be? But it also means that there are going to be situations and times where you could be discounted just because of how you present yourself. And as unfortunate as that is, and as unfortunate as that is, it is still the reality. So instead of pretending like that isn't, we just have to know that that is. And I think you said it best in some conversation we had. You were talking about sometimes you're born into a role or a name, and it gives you a lot more runway because you're already in a community already accepted for, you know, maybe the last name you were born into or the position that you have. It just gives you that runway. But if you're trying to climb that ladder, your runway is a little bit shorter and every impression you make matters. And so just being polished and making sure that you're presenting yourself in the best possible way for you is so important.
It is an understanding that unless you're making the rules, you don't get to break the rules. And so you've got to get in a position where you have the influence to make the rules, to break them. And otherwise, just know that you're self-limiting and this behavior is self-limiting.
Absolutely. And again, going back to like wanting to get on the radar for future advancement, part of getting on the radar is staying off the radar and the things that are just time consuming for people to kind of manage around. Nobody wants to have a conversation about cleanliness or odor or stains on pants or, you know, skirts too short. Nobody wants to have that conversation. And so you don't want to be on the radar for things that are really, really painful to have the conversation about.
That make everybody uncomfortable.
Yes. You want to stay on the radar in opportunities where you can grow.
No, you're dead right there. You know, I think the other one, number three for us, is champions do the extra work. You know, and that's, we get that in lots of roles. We understand that, you know, grades matter and that, you know, showing up on time matters. But the extra work is, you know, picking up the piece of trash that's on the floor. That's when you notice the copy or paper is out, stopping and filling it. It's going to take you, what, all of 30 seconds? We'll go a minute. But the fact that you get seen doing the extra work, that people know you did that, that, you know, you're not leaving messes places. That's what people go, oh, if they're going the extra mile on the little things, I can trust them with the big things. And I think people forget that. Leaders forget that, and it doesn't matter how high you are. I tell this story and uniquely you about my friend Reed Ryan, who's the president of the Houston Astros now. But when I first met him, he was the founder of a startup minor league baseball team. And my first trip with Reed around the stadium, which is now Dell Diamond in just north of Austin.
In
Round Rock, exactly. It was the slowest lap around the stadium I've ever been because Reed stopped to talk to every usher, every ticket taker, picked up every piece of trash he saw on the ground. Now, you know, he was one of the owners. He didn't have to do those things. You know, he happens to be from a famous family. He didn't have to do those things, but great leaders do those, and not making a big deal out of it, not a parade. That's just what you do. And so it drives me crazy when I see young leaders who want to succeed, but there's a job below them. It's beneath them. And I'm telling you, champions don't ever think there's work that's beneath them.
Yeah. And I think it goes so far because it provides opportunities for people to view you as a leader, to say, like, that's the type of person that I want to follow because they're willing to do it all. I also think it starts to become intrinsically who you are. If you continue to grow, but nothing is below you, and you stay accountable to the team from bottom to top, top to bottom, and you care so much about what the work you're doing that there literally is no task that you don't view as important, that starts to be the character of a person. And so part of this journey as you continue to grow is holding on to those core values and not letting them slide. And everybody wants to be a person who's considered a go-getter, you know, that will go the extra mile. But that means you have to be willing to do it.
Yeah. And for me, that's manifesting itself this year. And I do a word of the year that is around what I want to accomplish. And this year's word is mastery, because I found that there are things in the organization that I have no idea how they're done. Now, I don't need to do them and I don't need to get into it, but I feel less than because I don't know how it gets done. I don't know how to use software that everybody else on the team, because I don't have to. I've Rivenson high enough that I don't know that, but I don't feel comfortable not knowing the basics of those little things. And it was somebody told me years ago that if you imagine your career as a laundry basket, that if you're willing to put the little things in your laundry basket, the big things fall in there. If you're willing to pick up the socks off the ground and put them in the basket, the jeans and the winter coats fall in there. And your career is the same way. If you're willing to take on the little things, then the big things will come to you.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And champions do extra, just period.
You know, I think the fourth thing that, you know, I believe is critical is that you also have to know what you want. Now, you don't have to know exactly what you want. It's not like the freshman in college where you got to declare your major on day one and stick to it. But you have to know and to be able to express what next looks like. Or at the very least, express, I want to grow my impact, my influence, the opportunities I have. Help me define what I need to do to position myself to be able to do that. And that's one of those hard things, because we've all been taught, well, you know, you don't want to be too loud, too out there. You know, you want to be humble. But humble leaders are about doing the work with grace, not saying I'm undeserving of the work. And so I think it's critical that we know what we want. And you don't have to know what you want as a 40-year-old if you're 20, but you need to know what you want in the next 6 months or 2 years. And if you can't express that, then you need to go study it. Because the sad thing is, you'll never be happy if you don't know what you want. And the point leader, your mentor, whatever you call that person who's supposed to be helping you manage your career, doesn't know what opportunities to advocate for you because they don't know what you want. And, you know, a great friend and a board member who told me one time, you can't want more for people than they want for themselves, which I used to think meant, oh, then you don't push people to be great. No, you don't push people to for their goals to be your goals for them. But as a leader, you have to be able to express what your needs, wants, and desires are for advancement.
And I see so many leaders trip up in this area, because I think you're exactly right that it's really tricky to navigate the conversation at times, because you don't want to say, this is what job I'm hoping to fill in the next, you know, year. because that job may not be available or there may be somebody there, and it kind of can open this weird conversation. I always encourage leaders to just ask good questions. And there was recently a member of our team passed around 50 great questions to ask a leader or leadership questions. And so many of those open that conversation up in an amazing way for you to better understand the vision of the organization so that you know what the next roles might be, or at least the direction that a project or an agency is going. And also, you know, not being afraid to say, here are the types of work that I enjoy doing. Where do you see me excelling? Like, when you think about where my future might be growing here, what areas would you invest in if you were me? And asking leadership those questions, you may want to go in a different direction, but it's always really helpful to hear from somebody else what they view as your strengths and where they would continue to invest if they were you. It's really hard, especially as humble leaders, to know your superpower if somebody doesn't say to you what it is and you don't hear it over and over again. So not being afraid to ask, you know, what am I good at? What should I continue to invest in? What types of roles do you feel like are the opportunities for me to grow into?
Yep. Who are the people I should meet? What are the books I should read? What are the media I should consume? Those are the questions that you can ask your mentor, leader, friend. Make sure it's a friend that's successful. Don't ask anybody who has a pile full of bills how to be a millionaire. They don't know. Ask people who know. But then be willing to, it doesn't do any good if you don't know what you want, because then you end up, you know, wanting more for people than they want for themselves.
Yes. And if you don't know what you want, as Ron mentioned, it's time to embark on that journey and to start thinking about what the different options are and start self-exploring. What are you really good at? What things do bring you energy? What situations do you feel on top of your game? And to start kind of identifying what that is for you. Because if you're just in the back seat going along for the ride, you're not going to get into the driver's seat until you know what you're doing and what you want.
No, you're dead on. And I think the key is, as I look at this, is this idea that we all have leadership blind spots. And unless you're in tune enough with who you are and who you want to become, you end up just being an unhappy copy of somebody else. And we just, none of us want that for ourselves, for our friends, for our kids, for our siblings, for our spouse. And we sure don't want that for ourselves. So, you know, whether I, you know, not here to sell you uniquely you, sell you a book, but it's one of the reasons we wrote it was to build this idea of building your own unique success. And there's lots of exercises you can go through in it to kind of help work through these things.
Yeah. So I think on a future podcast, we should explore a little bit more the blind spots, because I think that's a great topic to talk about. You know, as you continue to grow in your leadership, how do you really identify those blind spots early, often, and seek some correction for those areas and how to navigate that? But just to recap today, you went through four tips that you felt like, you know, really helped position people for that next advancement. And so I just want to recap those quickly, and then we'll close out today. And I look forward to that conversation about blind spots. But number one, you talked about avoiding office gossip and politics and just kind of staying out of that trap or glass ceiling that you create for yourself. Really, number two, cultivating that professional image. We've talked about executive presence. You know, maintain yourself, be careful with how you dress and just how you present yourself. You don't want to be viewed as lazy and disengaged. And that can be translated. As much as we don't want it to be, it can. Champions do extra was number three. You do have to go the extra mile. You have to do the little things. You have to want to do those little things because you're passionate enough about what you're doing. And then lastly, don't be afraid to ask what you want. Express that interest in advancement. Ask good questions. Know what you want so that you can position yourself for those opportunities and have something to work for. Anything in closing, Ron?
Go be great. It's so easy, so much easier in today's world to be successful, to define success, to thrive. But humans are humans, and we're our own worst enemies. So if we know what we want, we know how to execute against that, then it's just up to us to go be great.
It's a perfect ending. I look forward to talking to you next week, Ron, as we explore blind spots in leadership.
Let's do it.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.